This is a scripture that I pray every morning of my life. When I get out of bed, I quote the 91st Psalm. That's how I start my day. I put my prayer cover on. You know, it's important to do that. And if you're not doing that, I want to encourage you to begin doing it. It doesn't take long, just a few moments. Just took me a few moments to read it. I've memorized it. I don't have to read it. Although when I quote it in today's language, not in the King James. But I do it every day. I did it this morning in the hotel room. As soon as I got up, I put on a prayer covering. And if ever there was a time to put on a prayer cover, now's the time. Well, what's going on in this world as we see what's happened in Washington, D.C., as we see what's happening in my state of Oklahoma, here in your state of California, when we see what's happening around the world, threatenings, drugs, gangs, all kinds of violence, cities having a 200% increase in murder. You see all these things going on. This scripture covers everything that you and I face. It is so powerful. It is so real. And that's why I put a prayer cover on every day. Something else I put on is I put on the 7-piece armor of God. Yes. Turn over in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. Something that I do every day. You know, no soldier would ever go into a battle without his armor. That's right. And yet many Christians every day go out in the world without their armor on. They dress for a picnic, not for war. And we are in a war, make no mistake about it. Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, and let me read it, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or tricks and strategies of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood," when our battle is not against people, "but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the gospel, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints." This is also something that I do every morning of my life. Many people ask me, "Richard, what are your secrets? The secrets to your success, the secrets of your life, the secrets of how you stay focused." Well, I'm telling you, that's I'm giving them to you today. And God's no respecter of persons. If he'll do this for me, he'll do this for you. So don't just say, "Well, that's just something that he does because he's a minister." No, it's for every person. And I'd like to urge you today, especially considering the conditions of our world, which appears in the natural to be deteriorating. And yet God's word has not changed. That's why praying the 91st Psalm and taking it personally is so critically important in your life. And that's why putting on the whole armor of God is critical. Now, when I do it, as I did it this morning in the hotel room, I do it in a little different order than Paul taught it. I just changed the order a little bit. I like to start from the beginning, from the top to the bottom, okay? So the first thing I did this morning is I took on my helmet of salvation. And I reached up and I put it on. Now, why would you put on a helmet? To protect your head.
Yes.
To protect your mind. What does Joyce Meyer say? The mind is the battlefield of the devil. That's where he attacks many Christians. with wild and crazy ideas and things and schemes. He comes against your mind, because if he can get a hold of your mind, he can get you to stop believing. So why would you put on a helmet? You put on a helmet to protect your mind, to think the thoughts of God instead of the thoughts of the enemy. So the first thing I do is I put on my helmet like this. And then after I put on my helmet, I go to the breastplate of righteousness. Well, why would you wear a breastplate? To protect your heart. Your heart is your most valuable organ. You can live without a brain. I mean, people in Washington, D.C. are doing it every day. But you can't live without a heart.
That's right. Yes.
And the Bible says it is with the heart that you believe.
Yes.
You don't believe from the pit of your stomach. You don't believe from your head. You believe from your heart. So I put on a breastplate to protect my heart, which is my most vital organ. So I've got on my breastplate now. I've got on my helmet now. I've got on my breastplate of righteousness. Next, I go to the belt of truth. And who is the truth? Jesus said, I am the truth, and I am also the way and the life. So when I put on my belt of truth, I'm taking on Jesus. And notice where the belt is worn. It's worn in the center.
Yes.
That's indicative of the fact that Jesus is the center of my life.
Yes.
Okay? So I have on my helmet, I have on my breastplate, I have on my belt of truth, and next I have the sword of the Spirit. What's that? That's your Bible. Some of you may not be acquainted with this. I'm pausing here for dramatic effect. You know, if you only pick up your Bible to bring it to church, no, it has to be sown into the garden of your heart. Because what you put in is what you're going to come out. The Word of God, the Bible says, is sharper than any two-edged sword. But it doesn't do you any good unless it gets in you. I had a partner of our ministry who said, I want to show you my Bible. He went over to the counter and dusted it off and showed it to me. And I said, it's not going to do you any good sitting over there. This is the word. This is your manual.
Yes.
The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but this word will not pass away. And when the going gets rough, when I face difficult times and I find it difficult to stand on anything else because it seems like everything's shifting, I take my Bible and I drop it on the floor and I stand on it.
There you go.
And I say, Lord, I'm standing on your word, literally. He said the sword of the Spirit, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay, I've got on my helmet. I've got on my breastplate. I've got on my belt of truth. I've got on the sword of the Spirit. Now, I've got my gospel shoes. I got my special shoes on. Oh, and by the way, I got my special birthday socks on. My wife gave me these. See these polka dot socks? I wore them because she gave them to me, and I wore them just so you could see them. My gospel shoes of peace. Well, why gospel shoes? So you can walk over the devil's roughest territory. Because it's rough out there. People out there dying, crying, sighing, going to hell with that in a handbasket. Coming against you. The scripture says in John 10:10, the thief or the devil cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. All right, he has those three focuses against you, and you need to have on your gospel shoes so you can walk over that. It's rough out there. And you come in here to get prepared for what's out there. So my gospel shoes of peace, I have my gospel shoes of peace on. And then I take my shield of faith. Well, why? Why would you take a shield? Because those enemy darts are coming at you every hour. Not just every day, but every hour. Thoughts coming against you. Actions coming against you. Those out there in the world who are standing up against you and who are staying up night thinking and dreaming up things to trick you. So I take on my helmet of salvation, my breastplate of righteousness, my belt of truth, my gospel shoes of peace, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and my shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. And that's where most Christians stop. They stop with six pieces of the armor, but there are seven. The seventh one, he said, and praying always in the Spirit. He was talking about praying in tongues. And that's why I urged you this morning, the moment I took this microphone and they turned it on, was to begin praying in the Spirit. Why? Why praying in the Spirit? Because most of the time, English doesn't cut it.
No, that's right.
Sometimes in my life, it seems like the words just bounce off the ceiling and hit me in the face. And the devil mocks me and says, you really believe that? That those words you say? Yes, they matter. Those words matter. God created everything you can see from what you can't see with his mouth. That's why what you say is so critically important. So stop being critical, okay? Start emphasizing the good. Start talking about miracles. And if you don't believe in miracles, look outside. It's raining in Southern California. My goodness, you guys get a quarter of an inch and you think it's a hurricane. Pastor Nancy, you know, in our part of the country where you were raised and where I was raised, we'll get 2 inches in an hour. In fact, we just had that the other day, 2 inches of rain in an hour, you know. Praying in tongues. The Apostle Paul separated your daily devotional prayer language from the nine gifts of the Spirit, particularly the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues. They're not the same. Now, it may have been taught to you in another circumstance or another building, but that's not true. He separated them because the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues, which are two of the nine gifts of the Spirit that he outlines in 1 Corinthians 12, are sovereign. And you can't decide to use a gift of the Spirit any more than I can decide to operate in a word of knowledge. The word of knowledge comes when God says so, not when I say so. Look, I've told God what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and who to do it to, and he's never done it my way once. It doesn't work. It only operates when he wants it to operate. I've told him what time to operate it, but he doesn't do it that way. I get exasperated because it doesn't happen the way I want it to happen. It happens the way he wants it to happen. I wasn't thinking about shoulders when I walked in here this morning, but all of a sudden God gave me a word of knowledge. Shoulders were being healed. I can't control when that happens. Happens to me in services. It happens to me in restaurants. Happens to me in airports. Happens to me on airplanes. It happens to me many times wherever I go. I'm not in control of that. I can't decide when it happens any more than I can decide to use a gift of tongues or a gift of interpretation of tongues. But I can pray in the Spirit in tongues in my daily devotional language anytime I choose. And so this morning I was sitting on the little couch in my hotel room. And after I put on my helmet of salvation, my breastplate of righteousness, my belt of truth, my gospel shoes of peace, my sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And once I took my shield of faith, I began praying in tongues. I began to pray in tongues. And then after a while, I stopped and I began to pray in English. And you know what happened? God began to give me new ideas and new insights and new things, new ways of doing things. Suddenly my mind was watered like the ground is being watered here in Southern California these last couple of days. Suddenly I knew exactly what the Lord wanted me to do today. I know where I'm supposed to go and I know what I'm supposed to do when I get there because I'm just not that smart. Now don't look at me like you are. I just am not that smart. I've got to have help. And the Holy Spirit, the divine paraclete, is the one called alongside to help. Yes. So I pray in tongues. And then I stop and I pray in English. And when I do, one of two things invariably happens. I either begin to say in English what I've been wanting to say and I didn't know how to say, or suddenly I begin to get God's response of direction back to me. And once I take on my helmet of salvation, my breastplate of righteousness, my belt of truth, my gospel shoes of peace, my sword of the Spirit, my shield of faith, and pray in tongues, and once I pray over the 91st Psalm and pray over my family and pray over the partners of our ministry and pray over all of our employees, now I'm ready to hit the ground running. And that's what I did this morning. That's one of the great secrets of my life. And thank God for it. And that's why 77 is the new 66. Because I'm younger than you think. I'm healthy.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
I'm healed.
Yes.
I'm handsome.
Yes.
I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Are you?
Yes.
I can do all things through him who says I can. How about you?
Yes.
I can do great things because of God in me. I have a song in my heart. I have the word of God on my lips. I'm ready to take on the devil's roughest territory. I'm not looking for a fight, but I'm ready. Okay? I'm ready to quote the word of God. I'm ready to tell the devil to get the hell out of my life. I can say that in church, can't I?
Yes.
My secret. It's never changed. I've done this every day for at least more than 40 years since I began to learn it. It has transformed my life. And it keeps me strong. It keeps me young at heart. It keeps everything working in me. Just like a good glass of a cup of hot tea gets me going in the morning, which I had this morning also while I was praying. Just as hot as I can stand it. I want my tea hot as hell. Now that's what my dad used to say. How'd you like your coffee, Brother Robert? He said, hot as hell. That's pretty hot. Because it works in my body. It makes everything begin to work. It starts your whole system on the inside. It gets your blood going. It gets your circulation. You drink something hot in the morning like that. Now, some people drink coffee. I know. I'm not a coffee drinker. My wife is. But I prefer hot tea. But something hot in the morning first before you eat anything. It charges your batteries. You don't have to go put something in the wall. I mean, it fires you up. And I'm fired up this morning. Now, that's a great secret in my life. And if you begin to do, if you're not already doing it, if you begin to do what I'm doing, if you begin to take that 91st Psalm and devour it every morning, if you begin to take on the sevenfold armor of God, you'll be prepared for the things that come against you.
Amen.
So good.
And there are a lot of things that will just pass you by.
Yes.
You won't even have to confront them. Others you'll confront with your faith. You'll do things by your faith. You do great things for God because greater is he who's in you than he that is in the world. Praise God. You know, I traveled with Catherine Kuhlman for a couple of years. And she never preached long. She didn't really enjoy preaching. She couldn't wait for God to manifest the gifts of the Spirit. And that's a lot like me. I'm not a long-winded preacher. And I love the scripture in Hezekiah that says, he who speaketh short shall be invited again. Don't go looking up Hezekiah. It's not there. Who needs healing today in your body? Who needs a healing? Something has attacked you. Just put your hand up. You need a healing in some area of your life. Just put your hand up. Hands up all over the room. Well, I'm involved in the healing ministry. That's what my TV program's all about. Every day I'm getting healing testimonies of people because I pray the prayer of faith on the program. And people respond, and I've got 22 prayer partners on telephones ready to take the call. So I get an immediate response, just like I'm going to get this morning. Because he is a healing Jesus. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he did, he's still doing.
Amen.
He hasn't changed.
Right.
Who needs a healing in your back or your shoulders or your feet or your legs? Just stand up. If you need a healing in your feet or your back or your legs or your shoulders or your arms or your hands, your fingers, your feet, your toes, your heel, the ball of your foot, the Achilles, anything like that wrong, that's wrong, and you need a healing today, well, you've come to the right place to get it.
Amen.
Now, somebody who is sitting next to them, reach out and touch them, just as a point of contact, and agree with this prayer. Father, right now, it is not by might, and it is not by power, but it's by the anointing of the Holy Spirit that I pray this prayer. Now here comes a move of healing right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak to the pain in your back. I command it to come out. And there it goes. Come out. Come out. Come out. Enter again, no more, forever. Now you with need of healing in your shoulders. In the name of Jesus, I pray right now you'll be able to begin to lift your shoulders up without pain. All the pain in the shoulder, all the bursitis, all the pain at the point of your shoulder, come out! Satan, you take your hands off in Jesus' name. There's a throat being healed right now. You've had difficulty swallowing and your throat is being healed. You're going to be able to swallow now completely, normally, with no, not even feeling like there's anything down there bothering you. Now that's a word of knowledge. While the gifts of healing is flowing in another way. That's two of the gifts of spirit operating at the same time. The gifts of healing and the word of knowledge flowing together. And they often do that. Now, your arms, your elbow, your wrist, your hands, your fingers, the stiffness and swelling. In the name of Jesus, I speak to the swelling, the stiffness. Come out! I arrest you. Come out. Come out. Come out. And there it goes. In the name of Jesus, someone's going to be able to move just normally. Find the pain is leaving you. Stiffness and swelling. Fingers straightening out. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Now, Father, the hips and the knees. The legs, the hips, the knees, the feet, the ankle, the toes. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke this arthritic attack. Come out in the name of Jesus. Be healed. And now here comes another wave of healing. It's coming from this side. It's moving across the congregation now. Thank you, Father. I can see it. I can see it moving now in Jesus' name. There's another healing. There's another shoulder healing right now. There's a knee being healed right now. There's a foot being healed. Someone able to bend all the way down in your back. I speak to scoliosis. I speak to back pain. I speak to lumbar problems, discs, vertebra, back pain. So many people have back pain in America. In the name of Jesus, all the, there it goes, back pain, come out. That's healing. That's healing. Now, who can tell something's happening right now? You can tell it. Wave your hand at me. You can tell there's healing starting. Look at the hands. Look at the hands everywhere. Thank God, thank God, thank God. That's the healing power of Jesus. That's not me. I just happen to be the conduit through which the power is flowing, but it's not my power. It's his power. The faucet in your sink is just the conduit through which the water comes. Faucet has no power, but when you turn it on, you get the flow of water. I have no power, but that power is flowing through me. And it's coming into you right now in Jesus' name.